Each play's got a yes, no built into it that if it's there, we could take it right now. And then usually it's built in with a, or if it's not a yes, no work the concept, it's usually a pure progression. So if you could just have disciplined eyes, keep your head down the middle of the field, get a good picture for what, whatever is going on. I still think that it's, you know, a lot of times you can break down the zones and not have to throw a perfect ball that you would need to in man coverage. I'd say it's pretty difficult either way you slice it.
From what you've seen, does Caleb have what it takes to do that immediately, or is that going to be a learning curve type situation?
I think it'll be both. I don't think there's ever been a quarterback come in and just be perfect right away. But also, as you guys can all see, from the time that he has been in the game, he definitely is capable of playing at that level.
Let's talk some quarterbacking, shall we, with an actual former NFL quarterback and friend of the show, Sean King, joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today. Mr. King, how are you? What's up?
I'm excellent. Let me apologize for not being able to make it in person. I had a tire change scheduled for the truck this morning, so I could not get down there in time. I wanted to see you guys.
Did you get the tire changed?
I did.
All right. And okay. That's good.
It was close enough so that I can get from there home, but it wasn't close enough so I can get from there all the way down to Circle by 10.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you jumping on the show anyway because we have a lot of questions. I'd love to know, one, how do you even evaluate what a quarterback is doing in preseason? Like, what matters to you?
So for me, all I'm looking for are little idiosyncrasies that the casual fan has no idea this transpiring. The first thing I want to see is how calm are they when it becomes chaotic? Does it look like they're able to go through the progressions within the structure of the pocket and deliver the ball accurately? That's the first thing I'm looking for, because sustainable quarterback play starts there. And if I see that, then I look at, do they have other elite tricks? And this is where you get to Caleb, who I'm assuming we're going to talk about a lot.
I think he struggles
really, really badly with that first concept that I'm looking to see, but he excels at the elite trait part, if that makes sense.
Can you give an example of what you're seeing out of, like, maybe the struggle? It doesn't have to be super specific, but just illustrate.
I had Jaden Daniels rated as number one quarterback in this draft. Go look at Jaden Daniels' preseason tape and then look at Caleb Williams. Everything Jaden does so far has been within the structure of the offense for the most part. Yet we know he has the same elite abilities that Caleb does. Fast forward, when you look at the Bears, Caleb seems to still be struggling throwing the ball on time in rhythm. And his spectacular plays are because of his spectacular talent. So I made an analogy the other day. I was hosting on The Odd Couple on Fox Sports I was filling in for Chris Broussard. It was me and Rob Parker. Caleb Williams reminds me of Anthony Edwards. Think about Anthony Edwards as a rookie. All he really could do was dunk. He was magnificent. Now, he was on the highlights all the time, but all he could really do was dunk. Now look at him fast forward to now. He's a part of the Olympic team. He's a well-rounded player. He's considered one of the top 10 players in the world with the potential to be the best. I think that's what Caleb's career arc is going to look like as well.
Well, if you don't trust his ability right now to get it out on time from the pocket, that means people are going to have to probably downgrade their Bears expectations.
Oh, yeah, y'all are delusional. Like, y'all are on Cowboy fan base delusion level. Every Bear fan I talk to, they're talking NFC championship. They're talking double-digit win season. For context, I have the Bears going 7-10 because I'm more of a realistic person. I think they're a better overall team from a talent standpoint, but I do think they have some pieces. They got to figure out how they fit. They've got some young players who are going to take time to develop. The division is a lot tougher than it has been. Green Bay and Detroit looking like they're both capable of being Super Bowl teams, and Minnesota having everything but probably consistency at quarterback. So I think when you put all those things together, I think the expectations are high, but hey, I'm not going to rain on the Bears parade. I get the energy of the last decade and how they're starving, but it is cowboy delusional.
Oh, you mean what's wrong with, you know, almost 30 years of not going to the NFC Championship game, Sean? I mean, Jerry Jones is totally going to sign CeeDee Lamb. I think that's absolutely happening. It's not that bad, is it? It can't be that bad.
I don't know what Jerry's doing because he hasn't paid anybody else. That's the strange thing with the Cowboys. He hasn't paid Dak. He hasn't paid Michael Parsons. Like, I don't really know what Jerry's doing. But I guess when you're the owner, you can make those decisions, right? We'll see.
So Sean, if these are some of the things that you feel like you're seeing with Caleb, how do you suspect that defenses, once we get into the regular season, are gonna try to defend him? How do you keep him from using some of the special and force him into a box?
I mean, the one thing about defenses is they take on the personality of their defensive coordinator. So a heavy blitz guy is not going to play zone because Caleb's the quarterback. A heavy zone guy is not going to go blitz crazy because Caleb's the quarterback. What they're going to do is they're going to approach the game just like teams approach when they play Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray or some of these other guys who are athletic and talented. It's not like Caleb, you know, is the only talented quarterback in the NFL that can run and throw. So he's going to get a lot of different things, some man, some zone. Was that Shane Waldron that was doing the press conference when I came on?
No, that was Tyson Bagent. The Bagency was talking about.
That was
about
the backup.
The
oh, okay. Because he said something that I had never heard before. He said, keep my head in the middle of the field and then make a decision in a system where I don't have to throw a perfect ball. I've never in all of my life heard anybody say that before. So that kind of caught me off guard.
Why? What sounds weird or wrong about it?
You're striving to throw the perfect ball every play. Like, that's the whole thing about being an elite quarterback is ball location. That's why C.J. Stroud is so great. C.J. Stroud plays within the system. When have you ever seen him throw an inaccurate ball? It's almost like, wow, if you see it. Like, that's what separates. If you look at all the top guys in the National Football League, the ones that win the most are the ones that can locate the football consistently at an elite level.
So I want to ask you, too, when you're talking about trying to be more consistent inside the system before trying to do the cool stuff that makes the highlight reels, how important is it to try to establish good habits early for him, for Caleb Williams?
I think it's very important, and I think it's a deficiency that he has. And listen, I'm not down on Caleb Williams. Just because I have Jaden Daniels ranked higher than him doesn't mean I don't like Caleb Williams. But I think he needs to be coached really hard about seeing the field. I don't think he sees the field consistently. If you just watch him and you stop being a fan for a second when you watch him and start being really critical of what he does the first 2 seconds after the ball is snapped, it never really seems like he's able to diagnose what the defense is doing, make a decision where to throw the ball, anticipate where the ball should go, and let it loose. And I'm not saying he can't get to that. I'm just saying right now, as we said in August of 2024, if I'm watching from a distance, if I'm looking at all the USC film, if I'm looking at what I've seen so far in the preseason, for some reason it doesn't happen like that. He's much more comfortable kind of pump faking to the right, doing a silhouette, making a guy miss, start stopping, then finding somebody in the scramble drill. He just seems more comfortable than when it's the first 2 seconds after the ball is snapped. We're in the structure of everything.
I mean, if for a Bears fan who's listening to you, Sean, they might think that you're describing the last quarterback.
Well, see, here's the difference between Caleb and Justin. Caleb's more quarterback than Justin was. Justin's more runner than Caleb is, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like, Justin's default is going to be scramble to gain yards. Caleb's default is scramble to make explosive plays in the passing game. And then he will run every now and then. So that's kind of where they're different.
Well, it's the difference between true scrambling and being a running quarterback, I think. Because we think, yes, of the term scramble. Scramble means you keep running around so you don't get sacked to give yourself time to throw a touchdown pass.
Right. That's fair.
When it comes to your general observation of the league, who's set up, you think, to make the biggest leap at the quarterback spot this season?
I think first you have to put context on last year, because a lot of people don't know that Dak Prescott led the league in touchdown passes. Jordan Love was second, and Brock Purdy was third. Like, if you ask the casual fan who led the league in touchdown passes, they probably would say Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, or one of those guys. So understanding that, I wouldn't be surprised if Matthew Stafford had a tremendous year. I'm a big Sean McVay fan. I think they're really close. They've got some really good young players, and Puka Nacua and Kyron Williams. I think people kind of sleep on Stafford a little bit. He's older. I know Bears fans are familiar with him from all his years with the Lions. So if there was kind of an off-the-radar guy that I think could reestablish himself this year, it would be Matthew Stafford.
Let's stay in L.A. What do you think about Justin Herbert with a new coaching staff?
I like Harbaugh. I think he's a great coach. I don't think the Chargers have NFL-caliber weapons yet. Any wide receiver group, that's Quentin Johnson's the best player by far. I think that's a recipe for trouble. You look at that backfield. It's Gus Edwards, I think, who's kind of been a journeyman. I think eventually they'll win, but I don't think they have the pieces right now, especially to be in the AFC.
So, Sean, it made sense to you, considering what you think the Bears can be, that they didn't bring Judon in on a one-year deal because he's not the difference between them being 7-10 and being a Super Bowl team.
I would have brought Judon in because I don't have to play the quarterback for the foreseeable future. So even though Judon has 1 year left on his deal, I have the cap space to give Judon what he's looking for if he produces. Because they still – Justin's got – 3 years before he could even redo his deal. So you got some space there, no matter how good – I mean, Caleb, my bad. Caleb has 3 years before he can redo his deal. So no matter how well Caleb plays, you've got some time before you've got to give that quarterback position all that money.
Well, we've been trying to find someone to help rush the passer with Montez Sweat. And for these 3 years, they haven't really given – Matt Eberflus the three technique that you would think he would need for his defense to work. So we keep thinking, and they kind of proved to us on Hard Knocks, that they are still looking for that second edge rusher to try and make this defense more formidable.
Yeah, I would agree. I thought Judon was a good fit. Danielle Hunter was obviously up for trade this offseason. He went to the Texans. I mean, there's been some movement of defensive linemen, so not sure why Ryan Poles, knowing that was a weakness, didn't get involved. But, I mean, you got to tip your hat to Ryan. He's done a good job in the last year and a half, 2 years, improving the talent across the board. That's a weakness. Can they get it fixed? Yes. We'll see how they decide to get it fixed. I thought Judon would have been a good fit. Listen, they've got a grace period for 3 years. Because it doesn't matter who the quarterback is right now. Hell, you can't tell me Tua is as good as Burrow. You can't tell me Trevor Lawrence is as good as Josh Allen. Yeah, it does not matter right now. All you got to do is be up for a new contract. And it looks like the going rate is starting at $50 million a year. So they don't have to put those resources in the quarterback. You would hope that they use it to fill other needs while they have that luxury.
Well, you got the texters riled up, Sean King. If you want to check him out on Twitch, you can. twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. And it's people – I'm truth be told, people just don't want to hear it. Whether you're right or wrong, mm-hmm. Bears fans right now just are not in a mood to have anything but cheerleading going on. And for it to be something quite other than that is jarring to the ears of some Bears fans at the moment.
Well, let me say this. I live by this. The truth does not have emotions. It's just the truth. So I'm speaking my truth based on my evaluation. I've known El Boogie there for a long time. Met you guys the last couple years. I think I've been on the show the last 2 years you've been to Circa. You know me. I'm going to tell the truth all the time. And that is the truth. And I think if Bears fan base embraces it, then they'll really enjoy this journey. If you get carried away and think that the rookie quarterback is supposed to perform like C.J. Stroud and the rookie quarterback's team is supposed to make a turnaround like the Houston Texans, you're just setting yourself up for failure. I'd rather have lower expectations and be pleasantly surprised because they're exceeded than have these massive expectations and be hugely disappointed because they don't meet them.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like, you know, on Monday we kind of went through this a little bit where we were talking about the performance on Saturday was a mixed bag. And it's, and if people really like thought about it and kind of tried to take their emotions out of it a little bit, the way I looked at it is like this, Sean. The first four series of downs, they had three and outs in a row. And
yeah,
there was, and then that's what you're talking about. And I think that there, you know, there was a missed opportunity for an interception. There was a grounding penalty. There was a motion penalty that they had inside of there. And then I like that Caleb stayed out there, kept working, kept grinding. And at the end of his run in the game, you saw him make special, special plays. The throw down the sideline to Rome Odunze right on target. Him moving and scrambling and keeping his shoulders square to the end zone and then saying, you know what, I can run and I can make this touchdown. I think that your analysis is pretty fair to what we're seeing, but Dan's right. There are a lot of people who don't want the fair. They have been promised something, and they want it delivered.
Well, guess what? My Twitter is at Real Sean King. You guys hit me up. I respond. I talk back. Just take your feelings out of it. Instagram is at Coach King, Coach Sean King. I'm open for it. I'm very rarely wrong. You know, me and you go back a long time. I'm very rarely wrong when it comes to my player evaluations. I was the one person standing on a perch last year saying, C.J. Stroud had the best college tape I'd ever seen. He located the football from his first snap at Ohio State till his last. And remember, people were trying to diminish what he did, talking about some new test the NFL makes you take now, and he didn't score well on it. And people were talking about Will Levis should be. I was like, what in the hell? Like, the tape didn't lock. Like, the tape doesn't lock. Like, I mean, come on.
Be unapologetic, Sean. We appreciate you putting it out there.
Thanks, man. That was
Thanks,
great.
Ma'am.
Thanks for having me. All right, y'all enjoy Vegas.
Thank you.
That is Sean King. How about it? Wow. Hey, Chicago baseball fans, come out to Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo today from 4 to 5:30 p.m. for an appearance with Ozzie Guillen and 670 The Score. Ozzie will be doing a meet and greet in the sportsbook area and doing what we'll be doing tomorrow, mingling poolside. So, be ready to talk baseball. We should mention, tomorrow at this time, we will be getting ready to talk to Matt Eberflus.
Nice.
So, you don't want to miss it. We're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, we are. I think we've got enough questions for a 45 to, like, 90-minute segment, but we're into it.
I feel like Sean King just did the Cameron Dame Dash. You mad?
Yes,
you mad?
Yes, he did.
Wow, I can't even read half of these texts. They're mad. Like really?
But you know what? When Lawrence asked the question, how do you want us to cover the Bears?
This is...
Like, there's going to be some dissenting opinions.
It's okay. It's totally okay.
And you know what? I think they're going to win double digits, and I also observe the Cowboys. And you know what? I'm wrong a lot, but it feels so right. So I don't know what to tell you.
He might be right.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, he's right a lot.
Let's put it in our sock drawer, sock it away. And reassess. And if he's
Socko.
I mean, but honestly, like we've got to touch base and follow up with him. If in the middle of the season,
oh, we will.
Like
we
if will. He's, we got he's laughing like Rick Ross, you know, the GIF. Then he has every right to be laughing.
We got Cubs baseball coming up in a little bit. Let's talk about them and maybe some of the hidden ramifications of the Hector Neris move. Sahadev Sharma had some idea of what that might have meant. That's next.
The heart attack, Hector.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
We've decided to switch things up a bit because we have all that cool stuff to talk about regarding the Cubs and payroll and the competitive balance tax. So
that, none of that you just said was cool.
I'm trying to make it sound cool. Well, we're going to...
There's accounting coming up.
Yes, a forensic accounting. Yay! Yeah, we will be talking about some of that stuff, the cool parts. We're going to make it cool tomorrow. For now, I think you should hear the fresh Craig Council pregame.
You had mentioned, like, in spring, in terms of, like, getting this job and being in a new environment, like, one of the things you wanted to look at was, like, some, like, just to see, like, what does he look like in the fifth inning or, like, those kind of experiences. Where you're at in the season now, how do you kind of feel in the evaluation of like being able to see maybe some like things that don't necessarily show up.
I feel very confident that those types of the soft things that you're looking at, yeah, very confident in.
I know that you weren't here last year to see it like firsthand, but the season that Steele had last year, there can always be that question when it's like the first time, can he do it again? And to see what he's doing this year, what sticks out to you as to why, and not just like his stuff, but the person that he is, like what's attributed to him?
Yeah, I mean, I think the nature of this game is like you have to prove it the next time, prove it the next time, prove it the next time. And you're always required to do that. Justin's going to be required to do that next year. Like he's going to be prove it again. Like, okay, so what? Prove it again. That's how that you have to kind of like look at it. And I think, look, I've said this about Justin. He's a very clear-headed competitor. Like it's just he doesn't overcomplicate things, but he really knows himself. He knows how he wants to compete. And that not a lot gets in the way. And it's a good trait. I'm not sure you try to teach it. You try to get better at it. I think he is kind of blessed with it. It's one thing he's blessed with. And he does a good job of, trusting it is probably the best way to say it.
We've talked a lot about the improvement of the bullpen. Has it gotten to a point now that you look at it as a strength of your team?
I don't know that I think about it like that. I think the goal is to create, a kind of a little team down there that supports each other. Obviously, that is talented, that, collectively can kind of like cover the innings that they're going to be required as a group, not just in the games that we're winning or the games we're like, you kind of need them all to work together. And I think it is a really functioning unit. And I think they depend on each other. You clearly need, you need your big dudes. You need the leverage dudes and you need the guys that are going to finish wins. That's the most important thing. But also how they function together is really important to make it through. Because it's not good enough to be good for 2 months. We got to be good for 6 months, like in a regular season.
What would you attribute some of the struggles that Itzhak's going through since coming over?
I think he just hasn't got on track offensively. There's no question about it. I mean, he'd tell you the same thing. We certainly taking note of it. He's working his tail off to fix it. He's a quiet kind of competitor, but he's a really hard working kid, and he cares a lot. Just that it's hard to see it sometimes, and so this is frustrating for him. There's no question that this hurts him to not be playing well, but he will get there. He will get there. He will get back on track. And we've got to help him do it. That's our job, is to help him do it.
Do you think some of it could be like the mental stress of like I'm on a new team, I want to perform?
I don't know, but it certainly could be. I don't know how else to answer that. Like I think change is hard for everybody, and. Isak was in a place where he had I think you could say the same thing about Morel, like had success and comfortable, and like you don't not necessarily know how the change is going to affect you. I don't think you'd use it as an excuse, and none of us use that excuse, but you kind of don't know. Even when you're going through it, you don't know, right?
What's the balance with someone who comes over and how, when someone is struggling, when you talk to them, how you talk to them, like how you approach?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just everybody's a little different, and I think, we want to support Isak and want him to get back on track, and there's just kind of keep going and moving forward and like keep doing what you're doing, and that's support. There's a lot of different ways to do it, and we might have to start. Are we going to start exploring other ways to do it? And that's kind of the decision maybe we're getting to. But I think there's no question it's going to happen. It's just we want it to happen. He wants it to happen sooner. We want it to happen sooner, and just trying to get to that point.
That was Craig Counsell ahead of the third and final game of the Cubs-Tiger series. I understand we have some big score programming news. Adam Studzinski?
Oh, hi. Yeah, I'll be doing Bears Post tonight after the game until midnight. So if
Woo!
You want to listen, it'd be cool.
Awesome. We should have him on as a guest tomorrow. Studs?
Well, yeah. That's funny. I'll be right back here, so it'll be very easily booked if you guys want
yeah,
me.
Yeah. We'll, okay. We'll get your thoughts on the Bears.
Yeah, because usually we would ask our, the sound man, was there any good sound from Bears Post, like a crazy call or anything like that maybe we'd want to bring back? So looking forward to it.
So what we're telling you is to call Adam Studzinski.
Make his life miserable.
Also, we need
especially
an animal.
If you're a Bob.
Yes, make it like a Ranji White Sox post game.
Mm-hmm. Make your handle the sports koala.
Yes, the sports koala with Adam Studzinski.
No, that won't be happening.
After Bears game Bears.
It's starting to fill in here at Radio Row at Circa in the Galaxy Ballroom because we've got...
How did he do? Show Twitch.
Ray just sent us a picture.
Yeah, we've
in the
seen
chat
this.
Of the sports koala.
The sports sloth, the sports koala.
The sports sloth was my favorite because the slogan was, we'll get to it eventually.
But he's here. By the way, I have to go check. I think Texas Sports Unfiltered and Texas Sports Filtered. They have to change the filter on Texas Sports Filtered. Because it gets full of too much raw sports opinion, so they have to swap it out for a new filter. So for a little while, I have to go to Texas Sports
just
unfiltered.
Just go to the next booth over, the Sports Brita.
That'll help me. It'll help me get cleaner sports.
Is this where I tell you I know three of the stations here because they're from Texas?
Thanks to our guests, Derek Stevens, Paul Charchian, and Sean King. Really stirring them up today. Mitch Rosen, our runner, Allen. Thanks to Ray Regal, our engineer, Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka, and all that. But next up, Cubs baseball back from Vegas tomorrow.
We got to go, guys. It is Cubs baseball. People are excited. We're here. We're all Cubs fans. We know what we're rooting for. Wrap it up. How do you end this?
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Good to see you.
Each play's got a yes-no built into it that if it's there, we could take it right now. And then usually it's built in with a – or if it's not a yes-no work the concept, it's usually a pure progression. So if you could just have disciplined eyes, keep your head down the middle of the field, get a good picture for what whatever is going on, I still think that it's a lot of times you can break down the zones and not have to throw a perfect ball that you would need to in man coverage. So I'd say it's pretty difficult either way you slice it.
From what you've seen, does Caleb have what it takes to do that immediately, or is that going to be a learning curve type situation?
I think it'll be both. I don't think there's ever been a quarterback come in and just be perfect right away. But also, as you guys can all see, from the time that he has been in the game, he definitely is capable of playing at that level.
Let's talk some quarterbacking, shall we, with an actual former NFL quarterback and friend of the show, Sean King, joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today. Mr. King, how are you? What's up?
I'm excellent. Let me apologize for not being able to make it in person. I had a tire change scheduled for the truck this morning, so I could not get down there in time. I wanted to see you guys.
Did you get the tire changed?
I did.
All right. And okay. That's good.
It was close enough so that I can get from there home, but it wasn't close enough so I can get from there all the way down to Circle by 10.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you jumping on the show anyway because we have a lot of questions. I'd love to know, one, how do you even evaluate what a quarterback is doing in preseason? Like, what matters to you?
So for me, all I'm looking for are little idiosyncrasies that the casual fan has no idea this transpiring. The first thing I want to see is how calm are they when it becomes chaotic? Does it look like they're able to go through the progressions within the structure of the pocket and deliver the ball accurately? That's the first thing I'm looking for, because sustainable quarterback play starts there. And if I see that, then I look at, do they have other elite traits? And this is where you get to Caleb, who I'm assuming we're going to talk about a lot.
I think he struggles really, really badly
with that first concept that I'm looking to see, but he excels at the elite trait part, if that makes sense.
Can you give an example of what you're seeing out of, like, maybe the struggle? It doesn't have to be super specific, but just illustrate.
I had Jaden Daniels rated as number one quarterback in this draft. Go look at Jaden Daniels' preseason tape and then look at Caleb Williams. Everything Jaden does so far has been within the structure of the offense for the most part. Yet we know he has the same elite abilities that Caleb does. Fast forward, when you look at the Bears, Caleb seems to still be struggling throwing the ball on time in rhythm. And his spectacular plays are because of his spectacular talent. So I made an analogy the other day. I was hosting on The Odd Couple on Fox Sports for I was filling in for Chris Broussard. It was me and Rob Parker. Caleb Williams reminds me of Anthony Edwards. Think about Anthony Edwards as a rookie. All he really could do is dunk. He was magnificent. Now, he was on the highlights all the time, but all he could really do is dunk. Now look at him fast forward to now. He's a part of the Olympic team. He's a well-rounded player. He's considered one of the top 10 players in the world with the potential to be the best. I think that's what Caleb's career arc is going to look like as well.
Well, if you don't trust his ability right now to get it out on time from the pocket, that means people are going to have to probably downgrade their Bears' expectations.
Oh, yeah, y'all are delusional. Like, y'all are on Cowboy fan-based delusion level. Every Bear fan I talk to, they're talking NFC championship. They're talking double-digit win season. For context, I have the Bears going 7-10. Because I'm more of a realistic person. I think they're a better overall team from a talent standpoint, but I do think they have some pieces. They got to figure out how they fit. They've got some young players who are going to take time to develop. The division is a lot tougher than it has been. Green Bay and Detroit looking like they're both capable of being Super Bowl teams, and Minnesota having everything but probably consistency at quarterback. So I think when you put all those things together, I think the expectations are high, but hey, I'm not going to rain on the Bears parade. I get the energy of the last decade and how they're starving, but it is cowboy delusional.
Oh, you mean what's wrong with, you know, almost 30 years of not going to the NFC Championship game, Sean? I mean, Jerry Jones is totally going to sign CeeDee Lamb. I think that's absolutely happening. It's not that bad, is it? It can't be that bad.
I don't know what Jerry's doing because he hasn't paid anybody else. That's the strange thing with the Cowboys. He hasn't paid Dak. He hasn't paid Michael Parsons. Like, I don't really know what Jerry's doing. But I guess when you're the owner, you can make those decisions, right? We'll see.
So Sean, if these are some of the things that you feel like you're seeing with Caleb, how do you suspect that defenses, once we get into the regular season, are gonna try to defend him? How do you keep him from using some of the special and force him into a box?
I mean, the one thing about defenses is they take on the personality of their defensive coordinator. So a heavy blitz guy is not going to play zone because Caleb's the quarterback. A heavy zone guy is not going to go blitz crazy because Caleb's the quarterback. What they're going to do is they're going to approach the game just like teams approach when they play Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray or some of these other guys who are athletic and talented. It's not like Caleb, you know, is the only talented quarterback in the NFL that can run and throw. So he's going to get a lot of different things, some man, some – zone. Was that Shane Waldron that was doing the press conference when I came on?
No, that was Tyson Bagent. The Bagency was talking
that
about
was the backup.
Offense.
Oh, okay. He said something that I had never heard before. He said, keep my head in the middle of the field and then make a decision in a system where I don't have to throw a perfect ball. I've never in all of my life heard anybody say that before, so that kind of caught me off guard.
Why? What sounds weird or wrong about it?
You're striving to throw the perfect ball every play. Like, that's the whole thing about being an elite quarterback is ball location. That's why C.J. Stroud is so great. C.J. Stroud plays within the system. When have you ever seen him throw an inaccurate ball? It's almost like, wow, if you see it. Like, that's what separates. If you look at all the top guys in the National Football League, The ones that win the most are the ones that can locate the football consistently at an elite level.
So I want to ask you, too, when you're talking about trying to be more consistent inside the system before trying to do the cool stuff that makes the highlight reels, how important is it to try to establish good habits early for him, for Caleb Williams?
I think it's very important, and I think it's a deficiency that he has. And listen, I'm not down on Caleb Williams. Just because I have Jaden Daniels ranked higher than him doesn't mean I don't like Caleb Williams. But I think he needs to be coached really hard about seeing the field. I don't think he sees the field consistently. If you just watch him and you stop being a fan for a second when you watch him and start being really critical of what he does the first 2 seconds after the ball is snapped, it never really seems like he's able to diagnose what the defense is doing, make a decision where to throw the ball, anticipate where the ball should go, and let it loose. And I'm not saying he can't get to that. I'm just saying right now, as we said in August of 2024, if I'm watching from a distance, if I'm looking at all the USC film, if I'm looking at what I've seen so far in the preseason, for some reason it doesn't happen like that. He's much more comfortable kind of pump faking to the right, doing a silhouette, making a guy miss, start stopping, then finding somebody in the scramble drill. He just seems more comfortable than when it's the first 2 seconds after the ball is snapped within the structure of everything.
I mean, if for a Bears fan who's listening to you, Sean, they might think that you're describing the last quarterback.
Well, see, here's the difference between Caleb and Justin. Caleb's more quarterback than Justin was. Justin's more runner than Caleb is, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like, Justin's default is going to be scramble to gain yards. Caleb's default is scramble to make explosive plays in the passing game. And then he will run every now and then. So that's kind of where they're different.
What's the difference between true scrambling and being a running quarterback, I think? Because we think of the term scramble. Scramble means you keep running around so you don't get sacked to give yourself time to throw a touchdown pass.
Right. That's fair.
When it comes to your general observation of the league, who's set up, you think, to make the biggest leap at the quarterback spot this season?
I think first you have to put context on last year, because a lot of people don't know that Dak Prescott led the league in touchdown passes, Jordan Love was second, and Brock Purdy was third. Like, if you ask the casual fan who led the league in touchdown passes, they probably would say Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, or one of those guys. So understanding that, I wouldn't be surprised if Matthew Stafford had a tremendous year. I'm a big Sean McVay fan. I think they're really close. They've got some really good young players and Puka Nacua and Kyren Williams. I think people kind of sleep on Stafford a little bit. He's older. I know Bears fans are familiar with him from all his years with the Lions. So if there was kind of an off-the-radar guy that I think could reestablish himself this year, it would be Matthew Stafford.
Let's stay in L.A. What do you think about Justin Herbert with a new coaching staff?
I like Harbaugh. I think he's a great coach. I don't think the Chargers have NFL-caliber weapons yet. Any wide receiver group, that's Quentin Johnson's the best player by far. I think that's a recipe for trouble. You look at that backfield. It's Gus Edwards, I think, who's kind of been a journeyman. I think eventually they'll win, but I don't think they have the pieces right now, especially to be in the AFC.
So, Sean, it made sense to you, considering what you think the Bears can be, that they didn't bring Judon in on a one-year deal because he's not the difference between them being 7-10 and being a Super Bowl team.
I would have brought Judon in because I don't have to play the quarterback for the foreseeable future. So even though Judon has 1 year left on his deal, I have the cap space to give Judon what he's looking for if he produces. Because Justin's got 3 years before he could even redo his deal. So you've got some space there no matter how good – I mean, Caleb, my bad. Caleb has 3 years before he can redo his deal. So no matter how well Caleb plays, you've got some time before you've got to give that quarterback position all that money.
Well, we've been trying to find someone to – help rush the passer with Montez Sweat. And for these 3 years, they haven't really given Matt Eberflus the three technique that you would think he would need for his defense to work. So we keep thinking, and they kind of proved to us on Hard Knocks, that they are still looking for that second edge rusher to try and make this defense more formidable.
Yeah, I would agree. I thought Judah was a good fit. Danielle Hunter was obviously up for trade this offseason. He went to the Texans. I mean, there's been some movement of defensive linemen, so not sure why Ryan Poles, knowing that was a weakness, didn't get involved. But, I mean, you got to tip your hat to Ryan. He's done a good job in the last year and a half, 2 years, improving the talent across the board. That's a weakness. Can they get it fixed? Yes. We'll see how they decide to get it fixed. I thought Judah would have been a good fit. Listen, they've got a grace period for 3 years. Because when it doesn't matter who the quarterback is right now. Hell, you can't tell me Tua is as good as Burrow. You can't tell me Trevor Lawrence is as good as Josh Allen. Yeah, it does not matter right now. All you got to do is be up for a new contract. And it looks like the going rate is starting at $50 million a year. So they don't have to put those resources in the quarterback. You would hope that they use it to fill other needs while they have that luxury.
Well, you got the texters riled up, Sean King. If you want to check him out on Twitch, you can twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. And it's people, truth be told, people just don't want to hear it. Whether you're right or wrong, mm-hmm. Bears fans right now just are not in a mood to have anything but cheerleading going on. And for it to be something quite other than that is jarring to the ears of some Bears fans at the moment.
Well, let me say this. I live by this. The truth does not have emotions. It's just the truth. So I'm speaking my truth based on my evaluation. I've known El Boogie there for a long time. Met you guys the last couple of years. I think I've been on the show the last 2 years you've been to Circa. You know me. I'm going to tell the truth all the time. And that is the truth. And I think if Bears fan base embraces it, then they'll really enjoy this journey. If you get carried away and think that the rookie quarterback is supposed to perform like C.J. Stroud and the rookie quarterback's team is supposed to make a turnaround like the Houston Texans, you're just setting yourself up for failure. I'd rather have lower expectations and be pleasantly surprised because they're exceeded than have these massive expectations and be hugely disappointed because they don't meet them.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like, you know, on Monday, we kind of went through this a little bit where we were talking about the performance on Saturday was a mixed bag. And if people really like thought about it and kind of tried to take their emotions out of it a little bit, the way I looked at it is like this, Sean. The first four series of downs, they had three and outs in a row. And
yeah,
there was. And then that's what you're talking about. And I think that there, you know, there was a missed opportunity for an interception. There was a grounding penalty. There was a motion penalty that they had inside of there. And then I like that Caleb stayed out there, kept working, kept grinding. And at the end of his run in the game, you saw him make special, special plays. The throw down the sideline to Rome Odunze right on target. Him moving and scrambling and keeping his shoulders square to the end zone and then saying, you know what, I can run and I can make this touchdown. I think that your analysis is pretty fair to what we're seeing, but Dan's right. There are a lot of people who don't want the fair. They have been promised something, and they want it delivered.
Well, guess what? My Twitter is at Real Sean King. You guys hit me up. I respond. I talk back. Just take your feelings out of it. Instagram is at Coach King, Coach Sean King. I'm open for it. I'm very rarely wrong. You know, me and you go back a long time. I'm very rarely wrong when it comes to my player evaluations. I was the one person standing on a perch last year saying, C.J. Stroud had the best college tape I'd ever seen. He located the football from his first snap at Ohio State till his last. And remember, people were trying to diminish what he did, talking about some new test the NFL makes you take now, and he didn't score well on it. And people were talking about Will Levis should be. I was like, what in the hell? Like, the tape didn't lie. Like, the tape doesn't lie. I mean, come on.
Be unapologetic, Sean. We appreciate you putting it out there.
Thanks, man. That was
Thanks,
great.
Ma'am.
Thanks for having me. All right, y'all enjoy Vegas.
Thank you.
That is Sean King. How about it? Wow. Hey, Chicago baseball fans, come out to Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo today from 4 to 5:30 p.m. for an appearance with Ozzie Guillen and 670 The Score. Ozzie will be doing a meet and greet in the sportsbook area and doing what we'll be doing tomorrow, mingling poolside. So be ready to talk baseball. We should mention tomorrow at this time, we will be getting ready to talk to Matt Eberflus.
Nice.
So you don't want to miss it. We're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, we are.
Each play's got a yes-no built into it, that if it's there, we could take it right now. And then usually it's built in with a – or if it's not a yes-no work the concept, it's usually a pure progression. So if you could just have disciplined eyes, keep your head down the middle of the field, get a good picture for what whatever is going on, I still think that it's you know, a lot of times you can break down the zones and not have to throw a perfect ball that you would need to in man coverage. I'd say it's pretty difficult either way you slice it.
From what you've seen, does Caleb have what it takes to do that immediately, or is that going to be a learning curve type situation?
I think it'll be both. I don't think there's ever been a quarterback come in and just be perfect right away. But also, as you guys can all see, from the time that he has been in the game, he definitely is capable of playing at that level.
Let's talk some quarterbacking, shall we, with an actual former NFL quarterback and friend of the show, Sean King, joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today. Mr. King, how are you? What's up?
I'm excellent. Let me apologize for not being able to make it in person. I had a tire change scheduled for the truck this morning, so I could not get down there in time. I wanted to see you guys.
Did you get the tire changed?
I did.
All right. And okay. Well, that's good.
It was close enough so that I can get from there home, but it wasn't close enough so I can get from there all the way down to Circle by 10.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you jumping on the show anyway because we have a lot of questions. I'd love to know, one, how do you even evaluate what a quarterback is doing in preseason? Like, what matters to you?
So for me, all I'm looking for are little idiosyncrasies that the casual fan has no idea is transpiring. The first thing I want to see is how calm are they when it becomes chaotic? Does it look like they're able to go through the progressions within the structure of the pocket and deliver the ball accurately? That's the first thing I'm looking for, because sustainable quarterback play starts there. And if I see that, then I look at, do they have other elite tricks? And this is where you get to Caleb, who I'm assuming we're going to talk about a lot.
I think he struggles
really, really badly with that first concept that I'm looking to see, but he excels at the elite trait part, if that makes sense.
Can you give an example of what you're seeing out of, like, maybe the struggle? It doesn't have to be super specific, but just illustrate.
I had Jaden Daniels rated as number one quarterback in this draft. Go look at Jaden Daniels' preseason tape and then look at Caleb Williams. Everything Jaden does so far has been within the structure of the offense for the most part. Yet we know he has the same elite abilities that Caleb does. Fast forward, when you look at the Bears, Caleb seems to still be struggling throwing the ball on time in rhythm. And his spectacular plays are because of his spectacular talent. So I made an analogy the other day. I was hosting on The Odd Couple on Fox Sports for I was filling in for Chris Broussard. It was me and Rob Parker. Caleb Williams reminds me of Anthony Edwards. Think about Anthony Edwards as a rookie. All he really could do was dunk. He was magnificent. Now, he was on the highlights all the time, but all he could really do is dunk. Now look at him fast forward to now. He's a part of the Olympic team. He's a well-rounded player. He's considered one of the top 10 players in the world with the potential to be the best. I think that's what Caleb's career arc is going to look like as well.
Well, if you don't trust his ability right now to get it out on time from the pocket, that means people are going to have to probably downgrade their Bears expectations.
Oh, yeah, y'all are delusional. Like, y'all are on Cowboy fan base delusion level. Every Bear fan I talk to, they're talking NFC championship. They're talking double-digit win season. For context, I have the Bears going 7-10 because I'm more of a realistic person. I think they're a better overall team from a talent standpoint, but I do think they have some pieces. They got to figure out how they fit They've got some young players who are going to take time to develop. The division is a lot tougher than it has been. Green Bay and Detroit looking like they're both capable of being Super Bowl teams, and Minnesota having everything but probably consistency at quarterback. So I think when you put all those things together, I think the expectations are high, but hey, I'm not going to rain on the Bears parade. I get the energy of the last decade and how they're starving, but it is cowboy delusional.
Oh, you mean what's wrong with, you know, almost 30 years of not going to the NFC Championship game, Sean? I mean, Jerry Jones is totally going to sign CeeDee Lamb. I think that's absolutely happening. It's not that bad, is it? It can't be that bad.
I don't know what Jerry's doing because he hasn't paid anybody else. That's the strange thing with the Cowboys. He hasn't paid Dak. He hasn't paid Michael Parsons. Like, I don't really know what Jerry's doing. But I guess when you're the owner, you can make those decisions, right? We'll see.
So Sean, if these are some of the things that you feel like you're seeing with Caleb, how do you suspect that defenses, once we get into the regular season, are gonna try to defend him? How do you keep him from using some of the special and force him into a box?
I mean, the one thing about defenses is they take on the personality of their defensive coordinator. So a heavy blitz guy is not going to play zone because Caleb's the quarterback. A heavy zone guy is not going to go blitz crazy because Caleb's the quarterback. What they're going to do is they're going to approach the game just like teams approach when they play Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray or some of these other guys who are athletic and talented. It's not like Caleb, you know, is the only talented quarterback in the NFL that can run and throw. So he's going to get a lot of different things, some man, some – zone. Was that Shane Waldron that was doing the press conference when I came on?
No, that was Tyson Bagent. The Bagency was talking
that
about
was the backup.
The offense.
Oh, okay. He said something that I had never heard before. He said, keep my head in the middle of the field and then make a decision in a system where I don't have to throw a perfect ball. I've never in all of my life heard anybody say that before, so that kind of caught me off guard.
Why? What sounds weird or wrong about it?
You're striving to throw the perfect ball every play. Like, that's the whole thing about being an elite quarterback is ball location. That's why C.J. Stroud is so great. C.J. Stroud plays within the system. When have you ever seen him throw an inaccurate ball? It's almost like, wow, if you see it. Like, that's what separates. If you look at all the top guys in the National Football League, the ones that win the most are the ones that can locate the football consistently at an elite level.
So I want to ask you, too, when you're talking about trying to be more consistent inside the system before trying to do the cool stuff that makes the highlight reels, how important is it to try to establish good habits early for him, for Caleb Williams?
I think it's very important, and I think it's a deficiency that he has. And listen, I'm not down on Caleb Williams. Just because I have Jaden Daniels ranked higher than him doesn't mean I don't like Caleb Williams. But I think he needs to be coached really hard about seeing the field. I don't think he sees the field consistently. If you just watch him and you stop being a fan for a second when you watch him and start being really critical of what he does the first 2 seconds after the ball is snapped, it never really seems like he's able to diagnose what the defense is doing, make a decision where to throw the ball, anticipate where the ball should go, and let it loose. And I'm not saying he can't get to that. I'm just saying right now, as we said in August of 2024, if I'm watching from a distance, if I'm looking at all the USC film, if I'm looking at what I've seen so far in the preseason, for some reason it doesn't happen like that. He's much more comfortable kind of pump faking to the right, doing a silhouette, making a guy miss, start stopping, then finding somebody in the scramble drill. He just seems more comfortable than when it's the first 2 seconds after the ball is snapped within the structure of everything.
I mean, for a Bears fan who's listening to you, Sean, they might think that you're describing the last quarterback.
Well, see, here's the difference between Caleb and Justin. Caleb's more quarterback than Justin was. Justin's more runner than Caleb is, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like, Justin's default is going to be scramble to gain yards. Caleb's default is scramble to make explosive plays in the passing game. And then he will run every now and then. So that's kind of where they're different.
What's the difference between true scrambling and being a running quarterback, I think? Because we think of the term scramble. Scramble means you keep running around so you don't get sacked to give yourself time to throw a touchdown pass.
Right. That's fair.
When it comes to your general observation of the league, who's set up, you think, to make the biggest leap at the quarterback spot this season?
I think first you have to put context on last year, because a lot of people don't know that Dak Prescott led the league in touchdown passes. Jordan Love was second and Brock Purdy was third. Like, if you ask the casual fan who led the league in touchdown passes, they probably would say Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, or one of those guys. So understanding that, I wouldn't be surprised if Matthew Stafford had a tremendous year. I'm a big Sean McVay fan. I think they're really close. They've got some really good young players and Puka Nacua and Kyron Williams. I think people kind of sleep on Stafford a little bit. He's older. I know Bears fans are familiar with him from all his years with the Lions. So if there was kind of an off-the-radar guy that I think could reestablish himself this year, it would be Matthew Stafford.
Let's stay in L.A. What do you think about Justin Herbert with a new coaching staff?
I like Harbaugh. I think he's a great coach. I don't think the Chargers have NFL caliber weapons yet. Any wide receiver group, that's Quentin Johnson's the best player by far. I think that's a recipe for trouble. You look at that backfield. It's Gus Edwards, I think, who's kind of been a journeyman. I think eventually they'll win, but I don't think they have the pieces right now, especially to be in the AFC.
So, Sean, it made sense to you, considering what you think the Bears can be, that they didn't bring Judon in on a one-year deal because he's not the difference between them being 7-10 and being a Super Bowl team.
I would have brought Judon in because I don't have to play the quarterback for the foreseeable future. So even though Judon has 1 year left on his deal, I have the cap space to give Judon what he's looking for if he produces. Because they still – Justin's got – 3 years before he could even redo his deal. So you've got some space there no matter how good – I mean, Caleb, my bad. Caleb has 3 years before he can redo his deal. So no matter how well Caleb plays, you've got some time before you've got to give that quarterback position all that money.
Well, we've been trying to find someone to help rush the passer with Montez Sweat. And for these 3 years, they haven't really given – Matt Eberflus the three technique that you would think he would need for his defense to work. So we keep thinking, and they kind of proved to us on Hard Knocks, that they are still looking for that second edge rusher to try and make this defense more formidable.
Yeah, I would agree. I thought Judon was a good fit. Danielle Hunter was obviously up for trade this offseason. He went to the Texans. I mean, there's been some movement of defensive linemen, so not sure why Ryan Poles, knowing that was a weakness, didn't get involved. But, I mean, you got to tip your hat to Ryan. He's done a good job in the last year and a half, 2 years, improving the talent across the board. That's a weakness. Can they get it fixed? Yes. We'll see how they decide to get it fixed. I thought Judon would have been a good fit. Listen, they've got a grace period for 3 years. Because it doesn't matter who the quarterback is right now. Hell, you can't tell me Tua is as good as Burrow. You can't tell me Trevor Lawrence is as good as Josh Allen. Yeah, it does not matter right now. All you got to do is be up for a new contract. And it looks like the going rate is starting at $50 million a year. So they don't have to put those resources in the quarterback. You would hope that they use it to fill other needs while they have that luxury.
Well, you got the texters riled up, Sean King. If you want to check him out on Twitch, you can twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. And it's truth be told, people just don't want to hear it. Whether you're right or wrong, mm-hmm. Bears fans right now just are not in a mood to have anything but cheerleading going on. And for it to be something quite other than that is jarring to the ears of some Bears fans at the moment.
Well, let me say this. I live by this. The truth does not have emotions. It's just the truth. So I'm speaking my truth based on my evaluation. I've known El Boogie there for a long time. Met you guys the last couple years. I think I've been on the show the last 2 years. You've been to Circa. You know me. I'm going to tell the truth all the time. And that is the truth. And I think if Bears fan base embraces it, then they'll really enjoy this journey. If you get carried away and think that the rookie quarterback is supposed to perform like C.J. Stroud and the rookie quarterback's team is supposed to make a turnaround like the Houston Texans, you're just setting yourself up for failure. I'd rather have lower expectations and be pleasantly surprised because they're exceeded than have these massive expectations and be hugely disappointed because they don't meet them.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like, you know, on Monday we kind of went through this a little bit where we were talking about the performance on Saturday was a mixed bag. And it's, and if people really like thought about it and kind of tried to take their emotions out of it a little bit, the way I looked at it is like this, Sean. The first four series of downs, they had three and outs in a row. And
yeah,
there
I watched.
Was. And then that, and that's what you're talking about. And I think that there, you know, there was a missed opportunity for an interception. There was a grounding penalty. There was a motion penalty that they had inside of there. And then I like that, that Caleb stayed out there, kept working, kept grinding. And at the end of the his run in the game, you saw him make special, special plays. The throw down the sideline to Rome Odunze right on target. Him moving and scrambling and keeping his shoulders square to the end zone and then saying, you know what, I can run and I can make this touchdown. I think that your analysis is pretty fair to what we're seeing, but Dan's right. There are a lot of people who don't want the fair. They have been promised something, and they want it delivered.
Well, guess what? My Twitter is at Real Sean King. You guys hit me up. I respond. I talk back. Just take your feelings out of it. Instagram is at Coach King, Coach Sean King. Hey, I'm open for it. I'm very rarely wrong. You know, me and you go back a long time. I'm very rarely wrong when it comes to my player evaluations. I was the one person standing on a perch last year saying, C.J. Stroud had the best college tape I'd ever seen. He located the football from his first snap at Ohio State till his last. And remember, people were trying to diminish what he did, talking about some new test the NFL makes you take now, and he didn't score well on it. And people were talking about Will Levis should be. I was like, what in the hell? Like, the tape didn't lie. Like, the tape doesn't lie. I mean, come on.
Be unapologetic, Sean. We appreciate you putting it out there.
Thanks, man. That was
Thanks,
great.
Ma'am.
Thanks for having me. All right, y'all enjoy Vegas.
Thank you.
That is Sean King. How about it? Wow. Hey, Chicago baseball fans, come out to Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo today from 4 to 5:30 p.m. for an appearance with Ozzie Guillen and 670 The Score. Ozzie will be doing a meet and greet in the sportsbook area and doing what we'll be doing tomorrow, mingling poolside. So, be ready to talk baseball. We should mention, tomorrow at this time, we will be getting ready to talk to Matt Eberflus.
Nice.
So, you don't want to miss it. We're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, we are. I think we've got enough questions for a 45 to, like, 90-minute segment, but we're into it.
I feel like Sean King just did the Cameron Dame Dash. You mad?
Yes,
you mad?
Yes, he did.
Wow, I can't even read half of these texts. They're mad. Like really?
But you know what? When Lawrence asked the question, how do you want us to cover the Bears?
This is...
Like, there's going to be some dissenting opinions.
It's okay. It's totally okay.
And you know what? I think they're going to win double digits, and I also observe the Cowboys. And you know what? I'm wrong a lot, but it feels so right. So I don't know what to tell you.
He might be right.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, he's right a lot.
Let's put it in our sock drawer, sock it away. And reassess. And if he's
Socko.
I mean, but honestly, like we've got to touch base and follow up with him. If in the middle of the season,
oh, we will.
Like
we
if will. He's, we got he's laughing like Rick Ross, you know, the GIF. Then he has every right to be laughing.
We got Cubs baseball coming up in a little bit. Let's talk about them and maybe some of the hidden ramifications of the Hector Neris move. Sahadev Sharma had some idea of what that might have meant. That's next.
The heart attack, Hector.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
We've decided to switch things up a bit because we have all that cool stuff to talk about regarding the Cubs and payroll and the competitive balance tax. So
none of that you just said was cool. like,
I tried to make it sound cool. Well, we're going to.
There's accounting coming up.
Yes, a forensic accounting. Yay. Yeah, we will be talking about some of that stuff, the cool parts. We're going to make it cool tomorrow. For now, I think you should hear the fresh Craig Council pregame.
You had mentioned, like, in spring, in terms of, like, getting this job and being in a new environment, like, one of the things you wanted to look at was, like, someone like Justin Steele, like, what does he look like in the fifth inning, or, like, those kind of experiences. Where you're at in the season now, how do you kind of feel in the evaluation of, like, being able to see maybe some, like, things that don't necessarily show up?
I feel really, I mean, I feel very confident that those types of, kind of the soft things that you're looking at. Yeah, very confident in.
I know that you weren't here last year to see it, like, firsthand, but the season that Steele had last year, there can always be that question when it's, like, the first time, oh, can he do it again? And to see what he's doing this year, what sticks out to you as to why, and not just, like, his stuff, but the person that he is, like, what's attributed to
him? Yeah, I mean, I think The nature of this game is, like, you have to prove it the next time, prove it the next time, prove it the next time. And there doesn't – you're always required to do that. Justin's going to be required to do that next year. Like, he's going to be – prove it again. Like, okay, so what? Prove it again. That's how – that you have to kind of, like, look at it. And I think – look, I've said this about Justin. There's – he's a very clear-headed competitor. Like, it's just, he doesn't overcomplicate things, but he really knows himself. He knows how he wants to compete. And that, not a lot gets in the way. And it's a good trait. I'm not sure it's, you try to teach it. You try to get better at it. I think he is kind of blessed with it. It's one thing he's blessed with. And he does a good job of, trusting it is probably the best way to say it.
We've talked a lot about the improvement of the bullpen. Has it gotten to a point now that you look at it as a strength of your team?
It doesn't. I don't know that I think about it like that. I think the goal is to create a kind of a little team down there that supports each other. Obviously, that is talented. That. Collectively can kind of, like, cover the innings that they're going to be required as a group, not just in the games that we're winning or the games we're losing. Like, you kind of need them all to work together. And I think it is a really functioning unit. And I think they depend on each other. You clearly need, you need your big dudes. You need the leverage dudes, and you need the guys that are going to finish wins. That's the most important thing. But also how they function together is really important to make it through, because it's not good enough to be good for 2 months. We got to be good for 6 months, like in a regular season.
What would you attribute some of the struggles that Itzhak's going through since coming over?
I think he just hasn't got on track offensively. There's no question about it. I mean, he'd tell you the same thing. We certainly taking note of it. He's working his tail off to fix it. He's a quiet kind of competitor, but he's a really hard working kid. And he cares a lot. Just that it's hard to see it sometimes. So this is frustrating for him. There's no question that this hurts him to not be playing well. But he will get there. He will get there. He will get back on track. And we've got to help him do it. That's our job, is to help him do it.
Do you think some of it could be like the mental stress of, like, I'm on a new team, I want to perform?
I don't know, but it certainly could be. I don't know how else to answer that. Like, I think change is hard for everybody, and Isak was in a place where he had I think you could say the same thing about Morel, like, had success and comfortable, and, like, you don't not necessarily know how the change is going to affect you. I don't think you'd use it as an excuse, and none of us use that excuse, but but you don't. You kind of don't know. Even when you're going through it, you don't know, right?
What's the balance with someone who comes over, and how, when someone is struggling, when you talk to them, how you talk to them, how you approach?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just everybody's a little different. You know, and I think, you know, we want to support Isak and want him to get back on track. And there's just kind of keep going and moving forward and like keep doing what you're doing. And that's support. There's a lot of different ways to do it. And we might have to start, are we going to start exploring other ways to do it? And that's kind of the decision maybe we're getting to. But I think there's no question it's going to happen. It's just we want it to happen. He wants it to happen sooner. We want it to happen sooner, and just trying to get to that point.
That was Craig Counsell ahead of the third and final game of the Cubs-Tiger series. I understand we have some big score programming news. Adam Studzinski?
Oh, hi. Yeah, I'll be doing Bears Post tonight after the game until midnight. So if
Woo!
You want to listen, it'd be cool.
Awesome. We should have him on as a guest tomorrow. Studs?
Well, yeah. That's funny. I'll be right back here, so it'll be very easily booked if you guys want
yeah,
me.
Yeah, we'll, okay. We'll get your thoughts on the Bears.
Yeah, because usually we would ask our, the sound man, was there any good sound from Bears Post, like a crazy call or anything like that maybe we'd want to bring back? So, looking forward to it.
So, what we're telling you is to call Adam Studzinski.
Make his life miserable.
Also, we need
especially
an animal.
If you're a Bob.
Yes, make it like a Ranji White Sox post game.
Mm-hmm. Make your handle the sports koala.
Yes, the sports koala with Adam Studzinski.
No, that won't be happening.
After Bears game, Bears.
It's starting to fill in here at Radio Row at Circa in the Galaxy Ballroom because we've got.
How did he do? Show Twitch.
Ray just sent us a picture.
Yeah, we've
in
seen
chat
this.
Of the sports koala.
The sports sloth, the sports koala.
The sports sloth was my favorite because the slogan was, we'll get to it eventually.
But he's here. By the way, I have to go check. I think Texas Sports Unfiltered and Texas Sports Filtered. They have to change the filter on Texas Sports Filtered. Because it gets full of too much raw sports opinion, so they have to swap it out for a new filter. So for a little while, I have to go to Texas Sports
just go
unfiltered.
Just go to the next booth over, the Sports Brita.
That'll help me. It'll help me get cleaner sports.
Is this where I tell you I know three of the stations here because they're from Texas?
Thanks to our guests, Derek Stevens, Paul Charchian, and Sean King. Really stirring them up today. Mitch Rosen, our runner, Allen. Thanks to Ray Regal, our engineer, Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka, and all that. But next up, Cubs baseball back from Vegas tomorrow.
We got to go, guys. It is Cubs
the
baseball. People are excited. We're here. We're all Cubs fans. We know what we're rooting for. Wrap it up. How do you end this?
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Good to see you.